الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد صدق الله العظيم Most respected علماء کرام, brothers and elders, the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His bounties and favors upon us are innumerable. And very often those things that we count as one ni'mat, there are countless ni'mats in that one ni'mat. Sometimes a person has had something to eat, he's filled his belly, he has satisfied his hunger, so he feels that, well, alhamdulillah, this was a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, so he makes shukr for that, and indeed it's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But that is not just one ni'mat, there are numerous ni'mats in that one ni'mat. The Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullah alayhi was a very great personality of his time, and among the senior khulafa was Mashaf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. In regard to this particular aspect of the ni'mat of food, he used to say that this is one ni'mat, the ni'mat of food, which again in that ni'mat of food reaching the person, there are thousands of ni'mats. All the things that went into getting that one morsel of food to him. Sometimes in that one morsel of food, that one bite that he took, there are things from different parts of the world in that one handful, that one mouthful. There's something from one part of the world, some grain of rice, and there's some other vegetable that's from some other part of the world, and perhaps that meat that is there, that sheep might have been grown in another part of the world. And then the people that worked on those fields, and then those who harvested it, and those who transported it, and those who went through all the various processes that finally brought it to the person. And that too could never have happened without all the other favors of Allah Ta'ala, of the rain coming down, of the sun shining upon it, of the moonlight coming onto it, and all the other innumerable things. Then that one morsel of food came in his hand. And then supposing that morsel of food was there in his hand, but there was just no appetite. The food is available. How often somebody just doesn't have an appetite? Something is not right, he's ill, and he has to be forced to eat, yet he doesn't want to eat. And he's getting weaker by the day, but he just can't eat. That appetite is also a ni'mat. Then sometimes a person, the food is available, that appetite is there. MashaAllah, some people have a very big ni'mat of appetite. So that appetite is also there. But sometimes there's a problem, a person has some sores in his mouth, some mouth ulcers, whatever. He just barely puts some bit of food in his mouth and his whole mouth is on fire. So now the food is available, the desire to eat it is there, but he just can't put it into his mouth. Sometimes the mouth is in order, then the sores are in the throat. One person came today, he says he can't eat from a couple of, quite a problem. He's got some problem with the throat, some sores in the throat. Now he is battling. So the mouth, the food is there, the appetite is there, the mouth is in order, he can chew the food, he can't swallow it. And sometimes that throat is also fine, something is wrong with the stomach. That food is not digesting, or he's suffering from nausea, indigestion. All these other things are in place, but yet he can't eat because of this problem in the stomach, this indigestion, this nausea. And then sometimes after all that is in place also, there's something is the problem, that food is not being, it's not the nourishment that is to be absorbed by the body is not happening. So now he's eating, but there's still no energy coming out of it, no strength, something has gone wrong somewhere. But all these things are in place, and sometimes it's just that how that food is being fed to the person, how it's being presented. Sometimes a person, maybe if something went haywire, and if he came home and the food was presented in a very, very abrupt way, so would he be able to eat that? He'll probably eat it because he has to, but would that be enjoyed? That food was just presented in an abrupt manner and there was no cheer behind how it was presented and how it was served. So the whole enjoyment of that food is lost. Now when a person sits down and that food was available and then he could eat it, he could chew it, he could swallow it, it digested well, it was served happily, does he make shukr for it? Does he regard all these things as independent ni'mats and favors of Allah Ta'ala? So if a person stops to think and ponder over this and recognize all these things are independent ni'mats and favors of Allah Ta'ala, one thing went wrong in any of these things and it would have been difficult to eat that, or not even possible to eat it. So when he thinks of all this, ponders over all these issues and then makes shukr, and he consciously makes shukr, that shukr will inshallah come from every pore of the body. Our shukr is generally a shukr from the edge of the tongue. The edge of the tongue, the word is there, that too alhamdulillah is something that we even take the word of shukr. But that shukr is meant to come from the very recesses of the heart. And this is what Allah Ta'ala is giving us this directive in the Quran Sharif, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This ayat of the Quran Sharif, almost everybody is very familiar with. Person who is not a hafiz of the Quran Sharif also, he is somehow familiar with this ayat of the Quran Sharif, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you make shukr, Allah Ta'ala says, if you make shukr, I will increase my favors upon you. But what is the shukr referring to? What kind of shukr? Just the shukr that is from the very edge of the tongue? Or the shukr in reality? So the shukr in reality, that is the shukr. That is the shukr Allah Ta'ala is saying, if you are truly grateful to me, you are fulfilling the right of shukr. Fulfilling the right of shukr is obviously something far beyond any one of us. And no matter how much shukr a person makes, that shukr also is naqis, it's deficient. And that is why Rasulullah has given us this lesson and message in one dua, which was a dua of shukr, but gives us this message. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nobody could have been more grateful to Allah Ta'ala than him. Nobody can come to a fraction of the gratitude that he expressed to Allah Ta'ala. And despite that height of shukr that he expressed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam still expresses his inability to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma la uhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Ya Allah, I am unable to praise you. I can't encompass your praises. I am too deficient. Your greatness is infinite and my praises are inadequate. La uhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Ya Allah, you are as you have praised yourself. So this greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this has to be in the heart. The consciousness of the infinite greatness of Allah ta'ala, the consciousness of our inadequate shukr, our deficient shukr, that no matter how much we praise Allah ta'ala, how much we express the shukr, it's very, very deficient. But despite that, we have to keep making an effort to develop the shukr, increase the shukr, because after all it is on the shukr Allah Ta'ala has made this promise. La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you make shukr, I will increase my favors upon you. But the shukr has to be shukr. If the shukr is something else, it's the name of shukr, then we can't expect the end result. So one of the essential ingredients of the shukr, there are many things. One of the essential ingredients of the shukr is that a person must be very conscious of this. he must acknowledge it. He must believe in himself very firmly that I didn't deserve one iota of this ni'mat. It's purely Allah Ta'ala's favor. I didn't deserve one iota of it. And it is not due to anything about me. It's not my achievement. It is not my hard work. Sometimes these words come off our tongues. All this is my hard work. All this I earned. All this I did. See, this year it was my brain wrecking that I finally brought it to this end. These are actually dangerous statements. Dangerous statements that these become claims. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that a servant of His starts making claims. And when people make claims, then they fall from the side of Allah Ta'ala. Some people made very big claims. So Allah Ta'ala showed them how good their claims were. They built a ship, they called it unsinkable. Unsinkable. Now what a claim that is. Can you imagine that makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, the ocean, what a tremendous creation of Allah Ta'ala, that depth of the ocean and that force of the ocean, and one hukam and one command of Allah Ta'ala, that ocean just encroaches onto land, what happens? What kind of destruction suddenly just takes place? Whereas water, you feel water, what is water? You can't even hold it, it'll fall away. It's so soft, it's so liquid. But yet Allah Ta'ala puts such force in that water that nothing can stand in its way. Now that ocean, this little small thing insan put together, and he calls it unsinkable. Allah Ta'ala made insan see it with his own eyes, that on the very first, other small boats are going through the ocean. Because they're worried. They're turning to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, you make us reach the shore. So now they are turning to Allah Ta'ala, even in the midst of the ocean, even the mushrikeen, those who have 1,000,001 deities. But when they are in the midst of the ocean, Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran Sharif. وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. That even the mushrikeen of that time, when they would be traveling in the oceans, and that ocean, that huge wave, that storm would break, and that huge wave would come upon them like a canopy, and now it might crash any moment, like a cloud over them. Now they forget all their idols and all their false deities, because they now realize and understand very well, none of these things can help them at all. Then they too turn, da'awullaha mukhlisina lahuddin, sincerely to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, you give us safety from this, take us to shore. But then unfortunately, this insan's nature, Allah Ta'ala says, when we bring them to the shore, they forget Allah Ta'ala brought us to the shore. Now they come to the shore and they start off again all the issues. We have our own storms that sometimes surround us. Whatever storm, sometimes it's some domestic storm, sometimes some financial storm, sometimes some other work storm, sometimes one thing or the other. All these various storms come, then a person starts making sincere dua. Ya Allah, you help me out. Ya Allah, you remove this difficulty. I'll become very punctual in my salah, and I will stop all the wrong I'm doing, and whatever long promises we make. Then suddenly, when all that has now fizzled out, everything came right, we also go wrong. Allah Ta'ala made it come right. Instead of now becoming more right ourselves, Allah Ta'ala made it come right, we go wrong. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that these mushrikeen also used to remember Allah Ta'ala in the midst of the ocean. So insan starts making claims. He puts a small thing together and says unsinkable. The very first voyage Allah Ta'ala made it sink. That small boats making it little ashore. What they call unsinkable sank, first voyage. Don't make claims in front of Allah Ta'ala. So sometimes that in shukr demands that a person acknowledges from deep down within, this is not my doing, is not my achievement, is not my hard work, is not my intelligence, nothing about me. It's solely the grace of Allah Ta'ala which He has blessed upon me without me deserving one iota of it. Without me deserving one iota of it. That is the first ingredient of the shukr. Now how often we make shukr with this realization? Often that shukr is that, well, this was meant to come to me, but nevertheless shukr also. then we've missed out on the first ingredient of that sugar. And while this is the discussion of sugar, in the same ayat Allah Ta'ala speaks about the opposite. Wala in kafartum inna adabi la shadid. If you are ungrateful, then my punishment is severe. The lack of sugar, the lack of gratitude is ingratitude. So when a person is not making sugar, when he's not even acknowledging that this is purely the grace of Allah Ta'ala, it's not my doing, it's not something I have achieved, then that is not yet sugar. So if it's not sugar, there's no neither gratitude nor ingratitude. That too has gone in the opposite direction. As a result of which, a person now sometimes wonders about what happened, how it happened. We didn't make sugar. And often we always look out somewhere else. Somebody else is at fault. We sometimes, when we hear these kind of discussions, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, that for example, those ahadith, those ayat of the Quran Sharif, in fact, that mention about the calamities that come due to sins. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That this corruption and mischief has appeared on the lands and on the seas due to the actions of insan. Allah Ta'ala says, so that we give them to taste some of that which they are doing, and so that they may turn back to Allah Ta'ala. Now we hear about this, that all these problems and difficulties come as a result of sins. There's some ahadith which mention that the things becoming very, very scarce, or inflation as we will describe it, is due to sins. Rains get withheld due to sins. And there's so many other things. What's our general attitude when we hear these things, our general response? The people are really getting involved too much in sin now. The people, which means besides me. So this is due to everybody else. As far as I'm concerned, me, well, I'm fine. So if I'm fine, I'll never make tawbah. Everybody else must make tawbah. And if everybody thinks like this, I'm fine, everybody else is a problem, nobody will end up making tawbah. Nobody will make istighfar. And as a result, everybody will suffer. Whereas the response of a mu'min is my fault. Zunnun Misri rahmatullah alayhi, very great personality of his time, very great wali and saint. Once there was a severe drought, and people came to him that this is such a severe drought has come, and there's no rain, and it seems like there's going to be no crops as well now. So now it's the crops that grow and then they are harvested and then stored, and the whole year then comes out on that harvest that was stored. Now if there's no harvest, what are you going to store? How the year is going to pass? So make dua that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with rain and we are safe from the situation. So in any case, people came, they made this request, and they left, they went away. As soon as they left, immediately he started packing his things. He packed his things and he immediately started leaving the town. He took his things along and he started leaving the town. He had barely gone out of the town and the rains came. Now there was a severe drought. There was no rain for a long time. And now this person barely leaves the town, and the rains come, and torrential rains. He's carrying on. He's on his way out. So as he's going, he's leaving, some town person who had been out, he's returning. So he meets him on the way, asks him, where are you going? You got all your things along, where are you heading to? He says, well, the people came, and they requested that I must make dua that there should be rain. But immediately I reflected that the rain is being held because of me. I am the reason for the rains being held back. So therefore, as soon as they came with this, I reflected upon myself. I realized that this is my problem. So I immediately left. Now outwardly it might seem, well, perhaps that might have been the case, na'uzubillah, that he left, the rains came. It's not he left the rains came, that as if he was the problem. The problem was others. But his, that height of humility, and that sincere response, Allah Ta'ala had mercy on that, and brought the rains on the people also, despite their problem. But the lesson for us is, he didn't look at anybody else. He looked at himself, my problem. I'm the one responsible. It's due to me. Due to me that others are suffering. And that happens. That sometimes one person is responsible for other people suffering. This is the system of dunya. You might wonder, but now one person did the wrong, why somebody else must suffer? It's after all dunya. One person lights a fire, his house gets burned, the neighbor's house gets burned sometimes. I say, but the neighbor is innocent. But this is dunya now. One person did something out of neglect, he did something out of wrongdoing. He suffers, others suffer around him. One person is driving recklessly. That reckless driving, he flips his car. Not only he gets killed, others get killed also. Oncoming car gets knocked also. So likewise in dunya, sometimes one person does something, others also suffer it. In the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a severe drought. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam took the whole community, thousands of them, went on to the outskirts, made Salatul Istisqa. People had come and pleaded with him, please beg Allah Ta'ala to grant us his rain, such a severe drought. So any case, when they went on the outskirts, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then engaged in dua. Allah Ta'ala sent wahi that there will be no rain until this one person who is among you does not leave. That for the past 40 years he has been disobeying me. So I will not send the rains. This one person has become the means of the rains being withheld. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam addressed the entire people and he said to them that, look, it is somebody among us who for 40 years has been engaging in some sin. And it is due to that sin that now everybody is suffering. So whoever it is, please leave. So that he will leave, the rains will come, everybody else will be relieved of the difficulty. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made this announcement. Nobody woke up. One person who realized who the reference was to. When he saw nobody else waking up, he was now in a difficult moment. On the one hand, if I don't leave, I'm going to become the means of everybody's suffering. And if I leave, now everybody will see who is this person who created this problem for us. Who is this sinner for 40 years? I will be completely humiliated and disgraced. So now he turned sincerely in his heart to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, while I was disobedient to you, you did not disgrace me. Now I'm turning in repentance to you. And I'm sincerely repenting for the wrong I had done. And he made sincere tawbah in his heart. And suddenly the rain started coming. Musa alayhi salam turns to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, you said that till this person doesn't leave, no rain will come down. Nobody left. But the rains came. Allah Ta'ala said, I sent it because of the same person. The sincerity of his tawbah, everybody now has been blessed with rain. Musa alayhi salam asked, Ya Allah, who is this person? Allah Ta'ala says that sin which he was committing, due to which the rains didn't come, will I now do the same thing? That he was involved in the sin of carrying tales. Now will I also expose him? He now repented sincerely. Where will I expose him? That even though now this is a moment of repentance, but it will become known who was the person who was sinning. But the lesson for us in this is that one person's wrongdoing and this extended period of time, this wrongdoing continued. Now finally it came to a peak. It became the means of the whole community suffering. Everybody suffering out of it. This is dunya. So now coming back to that point where we started off on, this aspect of shukr, the reality of shukr. So the first part of the shukr is to genuinely believe deep down in our hearts and acknowledge, I don't deserve one iota of this. And it is not one bit of me or my doing. It's purely the grace of Allah Ta'ala which He has blessed me with without me deserving anything. Then together with this, The aspect of shukr requires that a person then express that gratitude verbally. Manisi must believe this in his heart. That's the essence of it. That he must express it also. Allahumma laka alhamd wa laka shukr. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil iman. Ya Allah, all praise is due to you alone for this bounty of iman. Make shukr on iman. Shukr on Islam. Shukr on the Quran Sharif. Shukr on the tawfiq of performing our salah. Not our doing. We can't do it of our own accord. It's Allah Ta'ala's grace. It's His mercy. And therefore a person has to keep begging Allah Ta'ala for this grace. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ That tawfiq that comes only from Allah Ta'ala. That ability to do any good only from Allah Ta'ala. The ability to restrain oneself from some wrong only from Allah Ta'ala. That ability is not anybody's own possession. It's Allah Ta'ala's gift. Allah Ta'ala's grace. So now, to express that shukr verbally, on all the bounties, all the ni'mats, and this is such a thing, such a ibadat, that a person can be almost continuously engaged in this ibadat throughout the day, every now and then, something or the other, alhamdulillah, on it, alhamdulillah. He's expressing the shukr. There are two ibadats which a person can be all the time in one of the two. Shukr and sabr. It's either a moment of something positive or something negative. Person woke up in the morning and everything found as was the night before. Everything in order, everything in place. But do we say alhamdulillah? Whereas how many times a person woke up and there was a problem. Person was fast asleep and he didn't realize what happened while he was asleep. Woke up to find things all in disarray. While he was fast asleep, the place was all ransacked. He had no idea what happened. Allah forbid, in places in the world, people went to sleep at night. In the morning when they woke up, they didn't know where they were. The disaster that struck while they were asleep, they didn't know where they finished off. Somebody finished off under rubble. Somebody got washed away somewhere. One person went to some country just recently where there was some disaster. So he says he had to check the meaning of the word out. The meaning of that word, he never knew that word, never heard it, that the process of liquefaction took place. Now, the person who was taking them is explaining now. They went on some relief work. The person is explaining that here, this whole area, liquefaction took place. He said, what is liquefaction? So he checked that word out. So when he checked the word out, what the crux of it is, that the ground became liquid. And somebody's house was here. When this whole thing finished off, his house was somewhere else. Those houses that got demolished, that collapsed, that's apart from it. Somebody's house was standing. It was still standing, but it was somewhere else. It was like something floated away, a few hundred meters away, now just stuck somewhere in some zigzag manner. Can we imagine a person waking up in the morning and everything is in order? We think everything, mashallah, we put such strong foundations. But look at Allah Ta'ala's qudrat. Allah Ta'ala protect us. The people woke up in the morning, they didn't know where they were. They were in another block. They were streets away. But obviously that too was in a shambles. So now so many things, we wake up in the morning, everything is in order, everything is fine. These are great ibadats. This is a very great ibadat. Sabr and shukr. So now anything, either it's positive, there's something out of place, something is negative. Alhamdulillah on the positive. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un on the negative. A person is constantly in this ibadat. Great ibadat. And this can happen all directly from his heart. There wasn't even any tongue movement, any lip movement from his heart. He's praising Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Something that was negative, something that was painful, something that was disturbing. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. All the time this expression of shukr, the expression of sabr. And this keeps taking him closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah Ta'ala is with the patient. Now each time he's making this, expressing sabr, he's getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. And the shukr, la'azidannakum. Allah Ta'ala says, I will increase my ni'mat upon you. So this verbal expression of that shukr also. And then together with the verbal expression of that shukr, the reality of shukr is that a person submits himself to the benefactor. Who gave this ni'mat to him? Who blessed him with all these bounties? Did this just fall from the sky without the grace of Allah Ta'ala being with it? that it just come from nowhere. Allah Ta'ala granted it. Allah Ta'ala blessed it. So now he has to submit to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. His day, his night, his external, his internal self. Everything now submits to Allah Ta'ala. When he becomes truly grateful, when he is truly grateful, then he'd be grateful for his eyes also. Then those eyes won't look at haram. Because how can it look at haram? Because this is something Allah Ta'ala's gift it is. How is he going to use this, misuse it in this manner? And that too in, obviously in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, somebody has given us some expensive gift, now we misuse that gift in that person's presence. Can we imagine how the reaction will be? Sometimes we give a small little gift to somebody, we keep reminding the person. In some way or the other. One person, there's an old incident in India, in those days when there is a wedding. So now the wedding used to happen now, villages from one village to another village, many, many miles away. So now this whole wedding party, the whole procession now would go, and sometimes it will take a couple of days by the time they reach the other place with their, some on foot and some on their ox wagons and whatever else. So now this groom is also part of the party obviously, but he didn't have anything now. Simple, poor people, so he didn't have anything special to wear. Now somebody else in that whole procession, he had one little bit of a new shawl. So somebody, one of the seniors of the family now said, now lend him your shawl, afterwards he'll return it, but at least he can see the groom now. So now he lent it. Not that he was too happy to do so, but he lent it. Now they would now move on from place to place, village to village, now moving on, getting to the place. So in any case, now when they came past the first village, so now this becomes like a big excitement. Everybody comes out, what's going on? Okay, and they can see now this is a wedding party going. So they say, who's... Now the question comes, kiski bharat hai? Simply meaning, who's the groom? So now when they ask, who's the groom? This person who lent the shawl. So he immediately replied that he's the groom, but the shawl is mine. So in any case now, people all heard it, but now as they moved off again, so some others in the wedding party alongside, some family people, you see, what was the need to mention this? Fine, you want to know who's the groom, you said who's the groom. But now what was the need to mention that whose shawl it is? He said, okay, very well, leave it, don't worry, I won't. As they moved on again, came to another little village, again people got around, what's going on, who's the groom? So again this person speaks up, he says, he's the groom, don't ask about the shawl. But now somewhere, somehow, that mention of that shawl must come in because I did some good for somebody, I did some favor to someone. Whereas in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Don't destroy your favors to people by giving reminders. By reminding in some way or the other, I did this, I did that. Somehow, somewhere that must come in. What did we really do? When a person has done some favor to somebody, that too he has to recognize it as a favor of Allah Ta'ala upon him. That Allah Ta'ala wanted to bless that person with this ni'mat, with this bounty, but Allah Ta'ala made him the postman and rewarded him for it. That whereas Allah Ta'ala could have given it via anybody, Allah Ta'ala could have given it directly also, in some unseen way, but Allah Ta'ala gave me the opportunity to pass it on and rewarded me for it, something which Allah Ta'ala gave. I'm merely the postman. I'm just merely the courier. I'm just delivering. But I'm getting the reward of giving. Now that's the way to understand it. And a person who has understood that, then even in that act that he did, he will be grateful, Allah Ta'ala allowed me to do this. And otherwise that every small little bit that he apparently did, that too will always be remembered. Had Luqman salatu wasalam, the advices that he gave his son, among them on one occasion he said, don't remember your favors to people. And don't forget people's favors to you. Don't ever remember your favors to people. But don't ever forget people's favors to you. At least keep making dua for them. Keep remembering them, saying Jazakallah, making dua for them, asking Allah Ta'ala's grace and rahmat for them. But nevertheless, the point here is that if somebody had given us something, and in that person's presence, or we gave somebody something, in our presence that person is misusing it. He's misusing that gift of ours. Will we feel good about it? Will we ever give him any gift again? So when we can't tolerate somebody, our small little things, that they misuse it, they do something that we don't feel good about, Allah Ta'ala's gifts, Allah Ta'ala's bounties and ni'mats, and in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, obviously, Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing, all-seeing, and then the ni'mat of eyes that He blessed us with, that is misused. The ni'mat of the ears He blessed us with, that is misused. The ni'mat of the tongue, that is misused. The ni'mat of the hands and feet, that is misused. And the heart, which should be filled with the love of Allah Ta'ala, filled with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, that heart is being filled with all kinds of evil and filth. That heart is kept occupied in all kinds of sin, all kinds of evil thoughts, all kinds of haram fantasizing, all kinds of other thoughts and evils. So when a person is truly grateful to Allah Ta'ala, when the shukr has become alive, then all these bounties of Allah Ta'ala will be used in a way that will please Allah Ta'ala, will earn His pleasure, take us closer to Him. So outwardly, this is a very, very small ayat of the Quran Sharif, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. But it actually encompasses everything in it. Because a grateful person who's truly grateful will be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. He'll do all what Allah Ta'ala has commanded. He'll stay away from everything Allah Ta'ala has forbidden. Already the whole of deen came away in it. And then the shukr will keep taking him closer to Allah Ta'ala. So the shukr demands that we fulfill all the fara'is also, the wajibat, the sunnat mu'akkada. We try to increase the nawafil as well. When a person is truly grateful to somebody for the favors he's done, he says, anytime, anything you want, I'm just a call away. Middle of the night, don't worry, you call me. And if the person phones in the middle of the night too, he wakes up happily. Meaning he feels fine, doesn't matter. So likewise, the true servants of Allah Ta'ala, whose hearts are filled with the shukr, for them to wake up in the middle of the night to express their gratitude to Allah Ta'ala in tahajjud, that becomes very easy. That becomes very simple. And if not that, then without doubt, that Fajr Salah, Allah Ta'ala gave me this life. Allah Ta'ala allowed me to sleep. How many a person is suffering insomnia? Allah Ta'ala gave me this beautiful night's sleep. So now I got to wake up and now thank Him. The person who's immersed with shukr won't miss his Fajr Salah. The person who's immersed with shukr won't let that business encroach into Zuhr. That this is happening because of Allah Ta'ala's grace. Now I'm going to allow this to encroach in His command. That shukr won't allow him to encroach in that Zuhr Salah or that Asr Salah. And worse than that, will he allow his entertainment to start encroaching in place of Maghrib and Isha? There won't be haram entertainment, obviously. And even something of relaxation. But that will never come in the way of his ibadat, the way of the fara'is, the wajibat. And sin will be far away from him. So outwardly, it's just one word. We also keep, sometimes people ask us, how is everything shukr? MashaAllah, that too is good, that the word shukr came. Saying fine, rather than that shukr is a terminology. So at least that word is there. But now that word must bring along with it the reality. The reality must come alive. And the reality comes alive, the whole of deen will come alive in us. Just one aspect, it is shukr. It starts off on these things, expressing that shukr verbally, then reminding ourselves, all the time reminding ourselves, I didn't deserve this. This wasn't anything I deserved. Not one iota of my doing. Say it to ourselves. Speak it to ourselves. Not my doing. Allah Ta'ala's grace. I didn't deserve it. It's only His mercy and His rahmat. And then remind ourselves also that when all this is Allah Ta'ala's grace, it is His mercy, it is His bounty, everything is His favor, what should I be doing? Ask ourselves that question every day. How am I supposed to respond? Now it's a morning, how should I spend this day? Now it's a time of salah, what should I be doing? Allah Ta'ala's command, He's my benefactor. All the bounties are His. What should I be doing now? It's time for whatever other amal. This temptation is there, but Allah Ta'ala's command. How do I respond? What should I be doing? If we bring the shukr alive, inshallah the whole of deen will come alive in us. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala make us truly His grateful servants and those who are sincerely immersed in the shukr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala make us among His true servants at every moment of our life. Keep us with iman, take us with iman, and raise us on the day of qiyamah with iman. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.